Welcome back to the Deep Dive. I want to start today by asking you to picture a scenario. And I think this is going to feel painfully familiar if you've ever managed a team or, you know, worked in HR.
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this.
You're sitting in a meeting. You have a dashboard in front of you. It is beautiful. It's colorful. It has pie charts. And it tells you with just absolute mathematical precision that your team is failing.
The dreaded red zone on the quarterly report, yep.
Exactly, the red zone. And you know everything about the problem. I mean, the dashboard tells you that, you know, 40% of the engineering team is weak on the new cloud architecture.
Or the sales team just isn't getting the new negotiation framework.
Right. You are just swimming in data. But then the meeting ends, you walk back to your desk, and well, thing happens.
It's the classic paralysis. We've become, I mean, experts at diagnosis, but we're still surprisingly amateur at the cure.
That is the paradox we are digging into today.
Mm.
We have more data than ever about what our employees can do and, more importantly, what they can't do. Mm. But the actual mechanism for helping them grow, the training, the content, it feels like it's stuck in 2010.
It's manual. It's slow.
It's slow. And honestly, it's usually pretty boring.
Compliance theater is what I like to call it.
Yes.
You know, people just clicking next on a video just to make the notification go away.
Exactly. So today we are looking at two very different technologies that on the surface really don't seem to belong in the same conversation.
Right.
On one side, we've got a platform called iMocha, which is all about that deep diagnostic data.
Right.
And on the other, something called the Auto Content API, which is this like industrial grade content engine.
And the hypothesis for this deep dive is, I think, pretty simple. What happens when you stop treating these as separate things? What if the diagnostic tool could talk directly to the content engine?
Are we looking at the end of the learning and development department as we know it? Or is it just a better way to get people to stop rolling their eyes at training manuals?
I think it's probably a bit of both. But to really understand the solution, we have to respect the complexity of the diagnosis first. We need to talk about iMocha.
Let's start there. I spent some time in their documentation, and they position themselves as a skills intelligence layer, which, you know, sounds fancy, but what does that actually mean in practice?
Think of it as moving away from, well, away from the resume and more toward reality. For the last, I don't know, 50 years, corporate hiring and promotion have been so pedigree-based.
Right. You went to this university, great.
You worked at Google. You must be smart. It's a proxy.
It's a proxy for skill, not the skill itself.
Precisely. iMocha just flips that. They say, I don't care where you learned it. Can you actually do it? They have this massive library of over 10,000 skills assessments.
And we're not just talking about tech skills.
Yeah. No, I mean, we are talking about everything from very specific coding languages like Rust or Go, all the way to soft skills like, say, crisis management or business English.
I saw a case study in the research pile about L'Oreal that I thought really grounded this. Because when I think L'Oreal, I think makeup. I don't necessarily think hardcore data analytics.
But that's exactly the point, isn't it? Every company is a data company now. L'Oreal used iMocha to map out over 60 different role-specific competencies across their entire global organization.
So they weren't just testing new hires?
No, they were x-raying their current workforce.
Okay, so walk me through what that actually looks like for a manager there.
So imagine you're a VP at L'Oreal. Without this data, you might have, you know, a vague sense that your marketing team isn't leveraging customer data very well. You might complain about it in meetings.
A hunch?
It's just a hunch. But with iMocha, you get a strategic workforce plan. It tells you, okay, Jane and Mark are excellent at creative strategy, but they score in the bottom 20th percentile for data visualization.
It turns a hunch into a hard metric.
It creates a skill gap analysis that is just, you can't deny it. It gives you the what. But.
And this is the massive but.
Right. The massive but is that knowing Jane is bad at data visualization doesn't make her better at it.
And this is where the friction creates heat.
Yeah.
Because usually when I get that report, my heart just sinks because now I have to do something.
Right.
I have to find a course. I have to hire a trainer, which costs thousands of dollars and takes weeks to schedule. Or I have to write a guide myself. And who has time for that?
So the data just sits there. The gap remains. And eventually you just fire Jane and hire someone else, which is expensive and frankly morale crushing. This is the execution gap. iMocha is brilliant at the diagnosis, but historically the treatment has been manual.
Okay, so enter the second player, Auto Content API. Now I have to be the skeptic for a second. We see AI content everywhere. I can go to ChatGPT right now and say, write me a guide on data visualization. So why is this different? Why do we need an API?
That is the right question to ask. ChatGPT is a tool you chat with. It's a consumer product. You are the bottleneck because you have to type the prompt, read the output, copy, paste it, format it, email it to Jane.
It's all manual.
It's manual. Auto content is infrastructure. It's headless.
Headless. Okay, that sounds a little grim. Break that down for someone who's not a developer.
Right, yeah. So think of it like a high-end restaurant kitchen. The dining room where you eat is the head or the interface. The kitchen is the back end. ChatGPT is like a food truck. You order at the window, you get the food at the window.
Okay.
Auto content is a ghost kitchen. It doesn't have a front window. It's designed to take massive orders from other computer programs like iMocha and ship the food out automatically.
So it's not designed for me to log in and type something.
No, it's designed to connect to your systems. Mm-hmm. It takes raw inputs. We're talking URLs, PDFs, raw text, even YouTube videos, and it transforms them. And it doesn't just write text. It generates broadcast quality audio like podcasts.
Uh-huh.
It generates explainer videos. It generates quizzes.
So it's sort of like that Notebook LM idea, turning your documents into audio, but for enterprise software.
Correct. But unlike Notebook LM, which is a destination you visit, auto content is the plumbing underneath. And because it's an API, it scales. You can generate one training asset, or you can generate 10,000 all at the same time.
Let's talk about the economics of that for a second, because usually enterprise software is just code for extremely expensive.
And this is where the disruption happens. Traditional corporate content production is absurdly pricey. If you wanted to make a high quality, 15-minute podcast episode to train your team on a new compliance regulation, what are you looking at?
Studio time, voice actors, editing.
Yeah.
Thousands.
You're looking at $5,000, maybe $15,000 easily.
For one episode that maybe 50 people will actually listen to.
Right. Which means you simply don't do it. You send a PDF instead and nobody reads it. But the auto content API pricing model is in the cents range. We are talking like 10 cents to 2 euros per asset.
That changes the entire calculus. It's the long tail theory, but applied to learning.
Spot on. If content costs $5,000, you only make it for the top 5% of huge generic problems. Leadership training, sexual harassment prevention. You never make content for, how to use this specific quirky pivot table feature in our Q3 reporting spreadsheet.
But if it costs 50 cents?
You can make that content. You can make it for everything.
So let's smash these two together then. Let's look at the integration cases, because this is where the skills intelligence of iMocha meets the content engine of auto content.
Okay, let's go back to our L'Oreal example, or really any large company. Scenario A is automated upskilling. iMocha runs a scan. It detects that 500 employees in the logistics department are struggling with a new supply chain protocol.
The red zone lights up on the dashboard.
The red zone lights up. In the old world, HR panics. In this new integrated world, a trigger fires. iMocha sends a signal to the auto content API. That signal contains all the context. Topic, supply chain protocol V2. Audience, logistics team. Gap, compliance.
And auto content needs raw material, right? It can't just invent this stuff.
Correct. So the system pulls the actual technical manual, that dry 100-page PDF that nobody ever reads, and it feeds it directly into the API.
And this is where the magic or the headless production happens.
Exactly. The API digests that manual, it identifies the key learning points, and then it generates a private podcast. A 15-minute conversation between two AI hosts sound familiar, that breaks down the new protocol, uses examples, and makes it engaging.
And then it just emails that audio file directly to those 500 employees.
Or it pushes it to their learning app. And here is why this matters so much. Mental availability.
No.
You cannot force a logistics manager to sit at a desk and read a PDF for 2 hours. They're on the floor, they're moving boxes.
But they have a commute, they have a lunch break.
Exactly. So we are converting dead time into learning time just by changing the format.
That's smart.
And for those who are visual learners, the API can simultaneously generate a 90-second explainer video, vertical format, like a TikTok or Reel, using an AI avatar to visually demonstrate the protocol.
It sounds great, but I have to play the cynic again. Does this actually work? Or are we just flooding employees with AI sludge? I mean, we've all seen bad AI content. It rambles. It hallucinates.
That is a completely valid fear. The key is in the source material. This isn't asking a model to imagine a supply chain protocol. It is grounding the model in the company's own documents. The API is strictly summarizing and transforming the text you give it. It's not inventing facts.
Okay.
Plus, and this is the really clever part, auto content can generate a quiz at the end.
That quiz.
To verify the learning. The employee listens to the podcast, takes a quick 3-question quiz generated by the API, and the results of that quiz go where?
Back to Imoca.
Back to Imoca. The skills profile is updated, the red zone turns green, the loop is closed, and not a single human being had to schedule a seminar.
Okay, that is compelling. That's a closed loop. But let's look at a harder problem. What about the language barrier? We talked about Imoca facilitating global talent deployment.
Right. This is integration case B. It is a huge issue for global firms. You use Imoca to assess a candidate in Brazil. They're a brilliant coder. They ace the Python test. But your company's internal documentation and training for that project, it's all in German.
You don't hire them. You hire them and they just struggle for 6 months trying to figure things out.
Exactly. But AutoContent has multilingual capabilities. I think it supports over 50 languages now. So the workflow changes completely. You hire the developer in Brazil. On day one, the system takes your genuine onboarding materials, hits the API, and generates a Portuguese audio briefing and Portuguese video tutorials.
And we aren't just talking about like subtitles, are we?
No, we are talking about fully synthesized audio. The podcast host is speaking fluent Portuguese. The video avatar is lip-syncing perfectly in Portuguese.
That is incredible for speed. So Imoca gives you the business agility to hire from anywhere.
And AutoContent removes the friction of how do we actually talk to them. It creates a truly borderless talent ecosystem. You aren't limited by who speaks the HQ language perfectly. You are limited only by skill.
I want to shift gears to the executives for a minute, because we've been talking about the rank-and-file employees, but Imoca generates these massive reports. Talent analytics, workforce planning. I've seen these PDFs. They are dense.
They're sleeping pills in PDF format. And busy executives, your CEO, your CHRO, they often don't read them. They look at the executive summary and they move on.
So how does this integration help the C-suite?
This is integration case C, making data bingeable. The AutoContent API can act as a processor for these reports. It can ingest that 50-page Talent Trends 2025 report from Imoca and turn it into a lively 10-minute executive briefing podcast.
So the CEO can listen to the state of the workforce while walking the dog.
Exactly. But there is a feature here that I think is even more interesting and maybe a little controversial, voice cloning.
Oh, interesting. Tell me more.
The API allows for voice cloning. So imagine the CEO records a few minutes of their voice to train the model. Now, every Monday, the system takes the latest Imoca data. Here is where we are winning. Here is where we are losing on skills. And it generates a weekly update podcast delivered in the CEO's voice.
That feels efficient, but is a little creepy. Like a robo-CEO.
It does walk a fine line, but think about the transparency it creates. Instead of some cold email from the office of the CEO, every employee gets a personalized audio update where the CEO's voice explains, "Hey everyone, Imoca data shows we are falling behind on AI ethics, so we are launching a new initiative."
It scales leadership presence.
Yeah.
The CEO can't personally record a podcast every single week. They just don't have the time.
Right. But this way, their voice and their strategic intent can be distributed globally, instantly. It fosters a culture of transparency without the massive time cost.
Okay, we've talked about the what and the why. I want to get under the hood for a minute. Because our listeners are smart, and they know that integrating software is usually a nightmare. How does this actually work? Is it plug and play, or am I hiring a team of developers?
It's somewhere in the middle. It's an API workflow. It relies on triggers and actions.
Okay, break that down.
So Imoca integrates with the big HR systems. Workday, SAP SuccessFactors, Oracle. That's where the data lives. That's the source of truth. You set up a logic rule, what's called a webhook.
Give me a concrete example of a rule.
A rule could be, if a candidate is moved to the offer accepted stage in Workday, and their Imoca assessment shows a score below 70% in project management, then trigger AutoContent.
Okay, so the trigger fires. A little packet of data, a JSON payload, flies across the internet.
Right. That payload hits the AutoContent API, and inside that payload is the context. The API then initiates what's called a deep research agent.
Deep research. So it's not just looking at my internal documents anymore.
This is a crucial distinction. The API can be configured to browse the live web. If the skill gap is project management, the agent can go out, find the latest best practices from credible sources, combine that with your internal company values, and then synthesize the training material.
That is wild. It's performing multi-step reasoning. It's acting like a junior researcher.
Exactly. It synthesizes its scripts, and then it produces the audio and video, and then the action. It uses an integration tool like Zapier or Make.com to email that custom content to the new hire.
And the timeline for all of this. from click to content.
From the moment the offer accepted button is clicked in Workday to the moment the new hire receives that personalized podcast in their inbox. Minutes.
That velocity is the game changer. In the old world, that new hire waits 3 weeks for the next orientation day. In this world, they are learning before they even get their laptop.
It just removes the friction. And in corporate L&D, friction is the enemy. If it's hard to learn, people won't learn. If it's effortless, if it just appears in your headphones, they might.
We're coming up on time, and I want to zoom out. We've talked about Imoca as the intelligence and AutoContent as the infrastructure.
The brain and the voice, if you want to think of it that way.
Sure. But what does this mean for the people whose job it is to do this manually today? The trainers, the instructional designers, are they obsolete?
I don't think they are obsolete, but their role, it shifts dramatically. They stop being content creators and start being system architects.
So they aren't writing the script. They are designing the triggers.
Exactly. They're looking at the Imoca dashboard and asking, what flows do I need to build? They're curating the sources. They're the editors, not the writers.
It seems like we are moving from a push model, where HR guesses what training we need, to a pull model, where the data demands the training and the software just provides it.
It's a self-correcting loop, and that leads to a bit of a provocative thought to leave you with.
I love a good provocation.
Yeah.
Lay it on me.
If we can automate the assessment of human skills with Imoca, and we can automate the creation of the knowledge to teach those skills with AutoContent, are we approaching a future where the learning and development department isn't a group of people anymore?
That is a heavy thought.
I mean, think about it. A self-healing organization. The software detects a wound, a skill gap, and immediately manufactures the bandage, the content, to heal it, all with no human intervention required.
The self-healing workforce. It sounds like science fiction, but looking at these two platforms, the pieces are literally sitting right there on the table.
The Lego blocks are on the table. It's just about who builds the castle first.
Well, on that note, which is equal parts exciting and slightly terrifying, we are going to wrap it up. I hope this deep dive gave you a new perspective on how to close that gap between knowing your problems and actually fixing them.
It was a pleasure to unpack it.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you in the next deep dive.